Hello, this is Sabrina, and I'm a founding member of Sangini Bhet. Welcome to Suna Sangini. We're so delighted to share this space with you. I have a conversation for you today that is both fun and deep and covers so much. You don't need to be a fashionista to listen today, by the way. Just take a look at the clothes you're wearing right now or consumer products you are using. Who made them? How many times have you worn them? And why should we care? To help me think through these questions, I sat down with Haushala Gurung Thapa. She's a Wonder Woman of Nepal who wears many hats. Haushala is an educator by profession. She runs a school dedicated for marginalized children in Godavari. She's the co-founder and creative head of Haushala Creatives, a cooperative supporting women and youth from marginalized communities. She's also currently the country coordinator for Fashion Revolution, a global network of designers, educators, students, and activists working toward human and environmental justice related to fashion. In this episode, we'll start with a quick rapid-fire round and then talk about why fashion is fun as well as important, what sustainability means, and how sustaining practices already exist in many Nepali cultures. We also touch on mental health, the implications of sustainable fashion on Nepal's development, and so much more. And stay tuned also for Sweta's take on our conversation at the very end. So sit back, enjoy the ride, and do let us know your thoughts at sanginibhet@gmail.com or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. Here we go. So hi, Haushala. Welcome to Suna Sangini.
Hi, Sabrina. Thank you so much for inviting me here.
Okay, so to start, let's start with some icebreaker questions, Aita, before we get into the meat of the conversation today. Okay, most important question, dal bhat or momo?
Dal bhat. I'm a dal bhat 24-hour person, so yeah.
That's true. As I had dal bhat just today, so I can vouch for that.
Oh, to ek din khaya na bhane, it just feels very like something's missing in my diet khalko. Okay, so yeah, dal bhat, power.
Absolutely, absolutely. So white rabbit or orange ball?
White rabbit is my favorite. And I used to love the plasticky thing that's outside, but I heard it's unhealthy on it, right? But yeah, white rabbit.
I heard that too. Tara ma still ma khanthe bhat aundara. I don't care.
Okay,
so since today's conversation about sustainable fashion, what is your favorite clothing item to wear?
My favorite clothing item is usually it's a big white t-shirt that will go for everything, even with my jeans, shorts, anything. And my white t-shirt is one of my favorite things that I own, and which goes with everything. So that's one of my, and it's, I've had that for the longest time. So I think that's one of the most sustainable things that I've owned as well.
So you started your first nonprofit, Children and Youth First, in your early 20s, right? You were just 21, 22. So three words to describe the 21, 22 year old Haushala.
Three words. I think I was very driven. I don't know if I should say driven. I was like fierce, you know, but that sounded weird. I guess I was like driven, fierce, and
I was your junior in school, so that's one of the ways in which we know each other right now. I always thought you were brave. I think that's definitely a word I would use to describe.
So much, that means a lot.
Okay, so let's jump in then. So the first question I wanted to ask you was, why is fashion interesting and important for you?
Fashion is very interesting overall. But for me personally, if you ask me, it's like fashion is interesting because it is directly related with how modernization, globalization has taken its turn. And how it is directly linked with colonization, slavery, and also like the environmental impacts as well. So, and the history of fashion is what makes it very interesting for me, because hardly do we think about like fashion and its relationship with history. But the reason why it is interesting for me is because fashion's origins to history, to how it's related with colonization and slavery and modernization and globalization and connecting everything to the world we live in currently now is what makes it very interesting to me.
Yeah, for sure. Ani, just personally as a person, did you sani sani dekhi you were interested in like clothing and dressing up and jewelry and things like that, or you know, over time as you began learning about these bigger things, you became interested?
I was always interested in fashion as a young kid as well. I remember when we were in grade 6 or 7, when I was in school with my friends, we held a garage sale, and when we put like clothes out, and like, because we were so inspired by Archie Comics and that era of time, and it sounds very vintage at the moment. But yeah, so yeah, I was very interested in fashion, and always loved jewelries, and also especially because growing up in a neighborhood that had a silver shop. Okay? I remember one of my friends in school also had a silver jewelry business. So she brought these like silver earrings and silver ewer. So I was very always fascinated with that. But as slowly as time grew and I grew older, as any person, I think so, I rate fashion to me as an identity. Mm-hmm. And as a memory, but I didn't know much about fast fashion until later, for the past 6-7 years only. But before that, it was this huge overconsumption and this need that you want more kalko, and like you need to own this and that really was very mind-boggling for me. And it was a personal journey, to be honest. And in that journey itself, I got to dig up more and understand fashion more, but also, so at the end of the day, fashion to me is identity and it is a memory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, identity, memory, I completely agree with that. Little known fact, a little publicly known fact about me, I actually had a fashion blog when I was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I was like a late teenager, I think, like 18, 19 year old. And it was very interesting because, it was started by me and a friend in school, Anita Spatsi. We just used to kind of dress up. And it was the blogging era, like tethi bela social media rupin thena kare, or Facebook bakhare aako.
Yeah.
Blogs were the thing. So we had a fashion blog. And I remember like we just, it was like a playful thing. We just had fun. We got dressed up. It was like that. And a guy from school, we were tethi bela feri, MSN Messenger ko pani era thyo, maybe I'm dating
myself. Oh my god,
here.
Yeah. The statuses around your time, oh damn, yeah.
Exactly. So one guy from school, MSN Messenger, started telling me, hey, timi ta ekdamai like porne student ho, timi ta ekdamai intelligent keti ho, timi kina esto fashion gari raheko. Bhanera ma like confront gare thyo usle. Ani I remember in that conversation having to defend myself and say, hey, like, I don't have to be either a nerd or a...
someone putting who's people in a box.
Exactly. Ani, so that's sort of when I realized, like you were saying, fashion is about identity, and it is about... And it challenges these gender norms too. And it is about, of course, expressing a certain gender norm. But as a, straight woman, I'm expressing a certain kind of gender norm that are also... in a way, like, people try to put you in a box, and it's also a way to kind of sort of push back on those boxes.
Yeah. And it's the pre-assumptions, I feel like, I would say just to add on what you've experienced, and like, because I've been in the social work field, I'm an educator, so as profession, but when I stepped into like the fashion world of like conversations and things, and people were like, but you're an educator, why are you talking about fashion? Or why are you, like, it was very like, that's a tough spectrum to aware people about. But I think so now a lot more younger people are breaking that barrier as well. And, like not putting people in a box as well. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. So speaking of fashion, the other part of our topic today, sustainability. So this word has been thrown around a lot, but help us understand, so what exactly is sustainability and what is sustainability in fashion?
So I would first go with the word sustainability in a first mind. The word, to understand the word itself is very, very important, and where the word falls in with the vocab, you know, if it's a noun, if it's an adjective, if it's a verb, that's how I always try to educate people and aware people about sustainability in fashion. Because like you said, like the word is thrown out a lot so much that it's becoming a trending word, which is good. But at the same time, it can be very dangerous as well if you do not follow it all the way through. And for example, how I tell is like, when you look at sustainability, and I would always say, look at sustaining one, okay? Look at it as a verb, okay? And then only we will be able to relate with it, interconnect with it, intertwine with other topics that matter in the fashion industry, but also matter socially, culturally, and environmentally as well, you know? And how I would give you an example of sustainable fashion is first with the word sustaining is, okay, look at the Nepali culture, look at the in basic in cultures, different cultures, a fermentation of a pickle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Fermentation of pickle, a glass jar, you put radish, spinach, oil, whatever, and you put it out in the sun, you know. That is a sustaining practice. It's not gone yet. It's not talk of the past. Okay? It's still happening. It's a verb, you know. So that is how we should look into sustainable fashion instead of looking just as sustainability matter, but we have to look at it as a sustaining way, because that's the way forward in terms of also finding solutions.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting, like looking at it not as a static noun, but as a verb and as a practice. Like, that's very mm-hmm. helpful. That's very mm-hmm. helpful. And speaking of fermentation and pickles, I know about, of course, like I said, aaja maile dal bhat khaye, and of course, I had achar as well, and you brought up fermentation. But I was wondering, you know, as Nepalese, I know, many of our listeners are also, you know, immigrants from Nepal,
yeah.
In, you know, places like the US or other countries. So as people of Nepali origin, I was wondering if there are sustainability practices that actually already existed in our lifestyle that perhaps we might be forgetting when we are thinking, like you said, sustainability just as a static noun. When in mm-hmm. fact, it's an ongoing practice, it's a verb.
I think so. That's a really good question. And also, like, that's also a really good question to reflect as people are listening, like, who are away from home, Unsini, and from different regions as well, who can relate to these practices. A lot of our cultures, a lot of our communities still have a lot of sustaining practices. A lot of indigenous communities still have a lot of sustaining practices all around the world, and even in Nepal, I know. But of course, those are in the verge of being, a verge of dying out. And in terms of fashion and textile, we have a lot of sustaining fibers or fabrics that have been used and dyeing practices that have been used for over the years, you know, by different communities in different forms, and are still existent. Okay? But the thing is, it's still because of lack of recognition, lack of understanding, sustaining, and only looking at sustainability has also led into, slowly leading into lack of preservation of those cultures and practices. And this money, I would say, like, for example, like sukul banaune, like, and rari banaune from Gurung communities, and sukul banaune from a lot of Newa communities, so a lot of other communities, you know, from Madhesi communities, is one of the most sustaining practices, you know, of lifestyle ko sustaining practices ma.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So our cultural mm-hmm. practices ma, how can we recognize these practices of our lifestyle, of our traditional culture, that are sustainable? So what is the criteria to say, okay, this is a sustainable or sustaining practice and this is not one era?
I think so, yeah. So like the thing also about sustaining and sustainability is also like the problem of purist, you know, being a purist is also very difficult, is also very dangerous at the same time, right? But at the same time, like for when you said like about say sukul banaune ma, you know, because khetma dhan katisakepachi he katisakepachi, you know, you have the waste, you know, so people didn't waste that, you know, people still don't waste that. Kitesko sukul banaunchha, tesko chappal banauncha, घरभित्र राख्नलाई चप्पल बनाउँछ होइन त्यसको धेरै फर्म्समा युज भइरहेको छ क्या सो द्याट्स द रिजन वाइ लाइक इट्स नट जस्ट गुड इन टर्म्स अफ हाउ यु मेक इट्स ह्यान्ड वर्क मात्र होइन कि बट इट्स हाउ इन्भाइरोमेन्टली द एन्ड लाइफ अफ द्याट स्पेसिफिक थिङ has a better impact, okay? And I would like to quote what the slow factory said, like, if it's good for the everything that we make and it returns to the earth either as food or as poison, right? Okay? So that's the reason why it's very, very important. And I think if it returns to the earth as food, it should be regarded as a sustainable practice. And that's how I actually recognize it as a sustainable practice, because it's going back to the earth and in a good manner. It's helping, you know, but it's not taking years and years to degrade and, you know, going into micro usma, okay? But also how it keeps communities together as well, and communities sharing as well, and how it keeps a community as a community as well.
I also, you know, in as you were speaking, like reflecting on certain components of our lifestyle that I think at least ma sano hudakhiri, I noticed in oily it has probably started to go away. For example, ma sano hudakhiri, a big shopping day was dasai. Part of the reason why I love dasai was dasai ma luga kinne. But yeah, shopping wasn't this like, hey, unchani every weekend, like, you know, like just casually garne, like a retail therapy bhanne concept e thiyena ma sano hudakhiri, you know, like you bought clothes once a year to go out, and then you bought school uniform, you know. Ani shopping wasn't this sort of, you know, going to the mall wasn't this sort of day-to-day
accessible,
or sort of recurring,
yeah,
exactly, thing, you know. Whereas aile it has become like, including me, ekdam stress bhayo, oh, maybe I should just go shopping, you know, that'll make me better, bhanne khalko the urge cha, you know, aajkal ko lifestyle ma.
And I think so that comes because of, you know, because we've never been taught about like clothing combined, to take care of your clothes, pani, yeah, I'm like, you know, like, you don't take care of your clothes, and the stigma that comes for like secondhand clothing or like hand-me-downs or runes. I wore a lot of hand-me-downs, and but like also like taking care of your clothes is integral part of our lifestyle, pani. I think so that's that really lacked. I mean, I think so our grandparents really did that, because they came from a very, very tough times, you know, like just for survival and just for all of that. They had that like valuing everything. But I think so there was a gap, you know, in the middle where our parents like, okay, to just fall in a certain category of how I live or who I am, or, you know, the spectrum. But then I think so that whole idea of instant buying and like owning things, you know, so I think so that really trickled down. And now as I, you know, go into more like clothing, I understand like how much cotton consumes water. Not just that, but how an entire industry has been made because of, you know, of a certain fiber, you know, certain cotton, and how it's related with slavery and how it's related with industrialization and exploitation of people. And the planet is just mind-boggling, and how it sort of pushes you to make more sustainable choices, yeah, I'd say.
Absolutely, yeah. And I want to definitely learn a bit more about this kind of history of the fashion industry. But before we go there, let me ask you first, what does Fashion Revolution Nepal do?
So Fashion Revolution Nepal works with more like advocacy, awareness, education, campaigns, you know. And Fashion Revolution actually is a global community. It was started in the year 2014 after the Rana Plaza disaster that killed 1100 garment workers in Bangladesh, you know, the building not having safety accords, or, you know, factory owners not keeping their garment workers safe. So that's how Fashion Revolution actually started, and it's all around the world. It's a global community. So, but in Nepal, we work more as a think tank with more awareness and advocacy as well. And currently, we also work with Fashion Open Studio, where we are currently working with an emerging, a very good designer as well, to put in like designs and also like social issues. And we're a team of, it's not just me, it's a team of four other people and amazing Sachin, Bisheshta, Simran, and Bini Bhajacharya. So without them, this team wouldn't have actually been possible.
Yeah, it's really cool that a global sort of community came together after the Rana Plaza disaster, and also really close to home because it was Bangladesh and South Asia, and I guess Nepal could have gone that route as well in terms of unsani setting up the garment industry. Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit more then about this history of the fashion industry from a sustainability lens?
I feel like the history of fashion is like a whole class in itself, Sabrina.
True.
It's like a whole entire class in itself. So I would definitely like to credit my knowledge, because that's very important for us in sustainability to credit also people and knowledge as well. And I'd also like to credit like Open Education from Slow Factory for these several classes that they've done and I've attended and several of us have attended. But I feel like the history of fashion, I would just focus on the history of cotton at the moment, because that's how whole industry, like the industrial revolution started as well, and how it's integrated with slavery. Cotton is, it's a plant that actually changed the entire world, Nege, because it was based on slavery. It was based on free labor, exploited free labor without any proper pay for years, for I think so probably like around 200 years. And that's crazy. And then the industry, it boomed the industrial revolution, it boomed textile, textile industries. So that's the reason the history of fashion is very intricate, and it's also related with social justice. And that's the reason why the talking about history is equally important when you talk about sustainable fashion. Sustainable fashion needs to be not just worked as a trend, but the history of it also needs to be looked at in a deeper lens.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of recent history, but you mentioned the Rana Plaza disaster. So for this, for our listeners who may not know, can you explain what happened at Rana Plaza and why was it such a big deal and why did it spur so much activism around the world?
In April in Bangladesh, a fire broke out, and the building, Rana Plaza building, disaster happened. It was serving as a factory place for several big brands, but it killed 1,100 garment workers. It left a lot of garment workers disabled. People never really thought that what they were wearing had a social bigger impact into lives of people that were being paid in peas. How can their lives be just nothing? And how can only profit matter over people? So that's the reason why it gave an outcry. But the outcry was also because 80% of the garment workers are women. And that is a huge number.
Ani, by the way, I really like that you clarified that sustainability in fashion isn't just about environmental sustainability. We're also talking about social justice and living wages and workers' rights. So to clarify why this is important a little bit, so our listeners may be some of us may be Rana Plaza and those things might seem very distant, like those are workers' wages in a very far land one. It's just a sense of distance or a sense of lack of connection, Olai, that's one. The second might be a but like a factory or ल्यायो भने गार्मेन्ट इन्डस्ट्री नेपालमा राम्रो भयो भने जब्स क्रिएट हुन्छ होइन फरेन इन्भेस्टमेन्ट राम्रो हो नेपालको लागि हाम्रो विकास चाहिन्छ हाम्रो देशको लागि भने त्यस्तो सोच पनि आउला होइन द्याट्स द सेकेन्ड सो हाउ वुड यु आन्सर दिज भेरियस कन्सर्न्स द्याट फ्रम अ नेपाली पर्सपेक्टिभ दे माइट ह्याभ अबाउट सस्टेनेबिलिटी इन फ्यासन
I would say, like, everybody needs development, Nobody's saying don't develop, don't economic development science, and people need jobs, But we cannot work in the same way that that the world has worked about making billionaires, the style of how billionaires are made, Yes, Nepal should have industries around 1% to develop, but it should have with proper policies, it should have with proper accords, it should have so that these mistakes do not repeat again. Okay?
I guess from a Nepali perspective, right now,
Oh,
about
yeah, the Zara and the
H&M Zara,
H&M.
yeah, about
Oh.
Nepal ma aayekai chaina, why should I care about this if maile afford gana sakdaina or Nepal ma aayekai chaina? Jastai McDonald's Nepal ma aayepachi pura darar magma kholera, or sorry, KFC aundhari, darar magma kholera, it became a very sort of luxury, restaurant. So I'm sure Zara, H&M Nepal ma aayo bhane pani it'll be a luxury thing and not quote unquote cheap
fast fashion, yeah. Right? So yeah. Why should Nepalis care about fast fashion if that's the situation?
To not I pani, like there are clothing, fast clothing brands that are in Nepal, you know, without any tag. The scary thing is the ones that are just there, you know. And the thing is, it's not like they shouldn't exist. Okay? It is more that the waste material that happens, you know, because it's so cheap, you know, because it's become so cheap and it's become accessible, which is a good thing, which is a great thing. Everybody can look great. Everybody looks amazing now. Tara, the thing is, the waste that's coming out, okay? Like for example, in Nepal, it's the fleece school, okay? Because of fleece pajamas, fleece ooze, you know? This is all nylon, this is all petrochemicals, this is polyester, okay? Petrochemical ko mix bada niskeko unta. So, you know, the not just the environmental impact, but the health impact that it will do in the several years to come is just, it's scary when we think about it, okay? It comes down to our own consumption habits as well. And also, like, whatever you own, you know, just take care of that first.
Yeah, and just to answer, I guess, my own question with agreement with what you just said, that just because certain labels are not in Nepal doesn't mean we're not in this economy. I know we're not in this, you know, circular economy. I mean, in this globalized world, Nepal ma pani abo, like, yeah, if we go to New Road or wherever, like, we can get, you know, so much clothes that are like important in very cheap. And like you reminded us, most of these fabrics and most of the manufacturing processes used are not sustainable. And it's questionable whether they pay a fair wage to the workers. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I think we are definitely inside of this economy, whether we live in the Western, quote unquote, richer world or in the global South as consumers. And also, it's about like our overall framework of, you know, why do we want consumption? I think that's a very good question. There's consumption for need, but then after that, when it comes to a certain point, I realize that I'm actually harming my own mental health and I'm harming my own lifestyle.
Totally. And, you know, it's just like, the need of things, you know, that the instant fast fashion, the instant happiness, the instant gratification. Again, that's, I think that's very scary, and that's that can be very toxic. You know, it wants you to go either this way or that way, you know, but there is no this way or that way, I would say. You know, people are on their own personal journeys as well, okay? Like finding about their own mental health, their own child traumas, their own adult behaviors related to child traumas, or santa, you know, like there's so many kuraar bhaira cha aile. And then, but then the thing is, you know, you're like constant change, constant, you need to prove yourself. I think so that plays a huge role in like making you question yourself that you are not enough. Okay. And I think so. And that's where clothing and consumption and everything plays a huge role and tells you can do this and it will make you feel better, you know? Individual actions are important, but also making sure that these companies, these people are held accountable of and, you know, are asked these questions for the long run. Because what are we going to leave for the next generation, you know? Mm-hmm. Are we going to leave a better history, a good history, or are we going to leave the same but a little bit of a twisted version of it, you know? And I think that matters a lot.
Well, we covered a lot, from our own personal stories to mental health to the history of fashion, although that would have been an entire semester's worth of teaching. We covered a lot, and we're so grateful for your insights, for your thoughts today. Before we leave, could you tell us where we can find you and your work?
So Fashion Revolution is global. So we are Fash Rev Nepal. You'll find us on the website as a global team. To reach to me out personally, you can do haushla.thapa on Instagram. And my own women's co-op called Haushla Creatives is also there. So you can reach me there.
Great. Thank you so much, Haushla. It was great talking to you today.
Thank you so much, Sabrina. It was great having this conversation.
So, hi everybody. This is Sweta. My pronouns are she or they. I'm based in DC. I am sitting here with Sabrina after her amazing conversation with Haushala. Yeah, I just love that you brought this topic up. It's something that I haven't really been thinking about. And I think it definitely planted a seed in my head. And I'm just curious, how are you feeling? What did you think after having that conversation with Haushala?
In terms of feelings, I think that it was a big topic. There was like, on a personal level, our own personal stories, mental health, on a sort of community level, lifestyle questions, and then societal level, big questions about development and policy and things like that. So I was actually feeling like, okay, how can I make this accessible and but also interesting and fun? Ani, also because it's fashion, we started with this. It can be a topic that seems frivolous and it seems not songini bhet kind of topic. So I think I was very much feeling that challenge.
You know, what's interesting, you were saying that, you know, you didn't feel like this was a songini bhet topic, and it's interesting because, you know, I sort of see songini bhet as any topic that matters to its members. And so, you know, you being one of the members, you being one of the founding members, if it's a topic that you're interested in, you're going to bring more of a lens and introspection or something that ties you to it. So it's interesting that even as the founding member, you're saying that, because I'm wondering if other people also feel the same way about other topics that we could be talking about and bringing in. I think it was really great to sort of hear you and Haushala talk about, you know, the different lens to this topic. I guess out of all of it, like, is there anything that stuck with you? Or
one of the main things that stuck with me was thinking about sustainability as a verb. Sustaining, I think, is the word she used exactly, and I hadn't thought about it that way exactly. Right now, our sustainability bhaneko pachi sama last hune athwa huncha ni testo conceptually testo bhanera bujhincha, tara we still think of it as a noun somehow, you know, as a static thing. And also her phrasing, when I poked around some more, she said, you know, if it goes back to the earth as a good thing, if it doesn't go back to the earth as a polluting thing, as a thing that takes years to decompose, but goes back to the earth as a good thing, as a fertilizer, like that is sustaining practices. And I think that was really, really helpful because it's so practical. I know we can literally think about things that we do, things that we use, and then ask ourselves, is it sustaining in this way? So I think that was really helpful. What about you, Sweta? What stuck with you and what did you think about that?
That phrase, that whole line really stuck with me. Because I think while you two were talking and, you know, even from the very beginning, I forgot what your first question was, but it brought up her response in saying, you know, fashion is tied to history, it's tied to, you know, there's a colonization, there's globalization, there's capitalism, all these things, all the big terms, which immediately to me felt overwhelming. I know those are the lens that can be applied in everything, but I guess fashion is one thing where I hadn't really thought about the material and, you know, the production of it. I think I knew enough about the market, and but I didn't think in terms of like cotton. And so even the hearing this and seeing that link, I think I immediately felt guilty for not being aware, and then immediately started reflecting on what do I own and what am I wearing right now. So I think all those mixed feelings came up: guilt, overwhelming, now this is another thing I need to start looking into a little bit more, how do I even do that? But then once you two continued and you talked, and she mentioned it's a practice, it's something that you do, it's thinking of being intentional also about your habits and your purchasing habits. I think once I heard that, I immediately felt a little bit calmer and thinking, okay, just like every year, my habits will change and my spending, buying habits have changed, my consumption. So I think thinking about all of that was encouraging. And I really liked what she said, it, you know, being mindful and thinking about how it returns back into Earth. I think that's something I haven't heard before, which was quite poetic. I don't know. I really like that part. So
I completely agree. And it's so practical because you can literally judge for yourself, right? It's not like a unsani out there, like kosari certify or no point. It's like you can literally see it and apply it. It's also interesting you said guilt. Could you tell me more?
Yeah, like I think I immediately thought, should I have known better? Should I have known this? Why didn't I make that link to cotton and colonization and slavery? Like, how did I completely miss that? And now that I'm thinking about it, it's very obvious. This is something I studied in school in history class, but I don't think that link was so obvious in my brain. I never thought about that level of, and then I immediately went on YouTube just out of curiosity. I was like, oh, okay, history of fashion. And everything was very about the style, or there was videos on gender, how there's a history of gender and gender binary in fashion, but there wasn't, like, it's almost like you had to know what you need to look for. And so immediately I thought, okay, maybe I'm feeling guilty, but my guilt is being misplaced. Like, I may be not realizing that this information isn't as easily accessible for people to know and know what to look for.
I think the challenge is also how to navigate when things we consider fun and frivolous are actually pretty heavy and political. About like maybe comedy is another one, I know. Like many of us probably enjoy comedy, whether in TV shows or stand-up comedy or political humor or whatever. And it's literally like it makes you laugh. But it can also be extremely political and heavy and serious and come with its own history. And I think fashion for me definitely is also one of them. I actually really love like dressing up and style. And, you know, it's one of those things in my life that uses the left side of my brain, like the creative side, like, right? Mm. Like texture and color and putting things together and seeing things in a different light. Like it is actually pretty creative and fun. But then also, you know, it comes with its own baggage. That might be the challenge for our generation, is how to navigate those spaces.
I love that you made that link, because I've been watching a lot of stand-up comedy. So that's an easy outlet, I think, for me as a consumer or someone buying. It's just so distant from what I have, what the steps I take, that unknown is a little daunting. So it's like, I don't know, as for me, I'm like, oh, I wonder where I could learn a little bit more about that aside from the news, because the news, the way of consuming information is very overwhelming from there.
Tita, it's really sad to say that actually one of the first times that I had even thought about fashion and style in a critical way was watching Hasan Minhaj go Netflix series, and he does a series on fashion. You know, and this wasn't too long ago. It was only a couple of years ago, I think, at the most, right now. So this kind of critical thinking about, you know, just kind of everyday fun things is not really there. And so for me also, it was very recent that I actually started thinking critically about this thing.
That's awesome. I think we consume the same things in terms of information. But I guess I'm wondering, right, for our listeners, are we thinking about becoming more sustainable? That's sort of the last thing I'm thinking about.
For me personally, it's buying less. I found myself buying so much after getting the vaccine, Ani, where I am, you know, the pandemic had started to end, Ani. Then I found myself just consuming so much because I was like, oh, getting dressed up again, getting out of my sweatbands. Yes. And, you know, while that feeling is valid and justified, ultimately in practice, it meant I was just kind of just be buying too much stuff. Just on a practical level, I think it means consuming less.
I was thinking the same, and I want to remove the shame of going back to some of the practices I had even as a kid, which is sharing my clothes, you know, passing it on to friends and family, especially clothes that no longer serve me and they're in good condition. And it's just there's certain styles that don't that I don't identify with and want to express by wearing it anymore. So there's a different lens I have now as a queer non-binary person. It's also expensive to keep buying new clothes and I don't want to. So I'm actually going to try to explore maybe thrifting or seeing what other friends have that they're giving away and sort of exchanging clothes that way. But yeah. Definitely buying less too.
Absolutely. And making hand-me-downs cool again.
Yeah. Thank you again for having this conversation because this is my first time hearing about fashion revolution, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to, I guess, all the Sanguinis, I hope you look at our event description again just to learn more about the guest speakers. And we hope you tune into our next episode, which we have yet to decide, but we'll be back.